Pete Seeger put this passage from Ecclesiastes into song back in the 50s, and then it was made popular by the Byrds back in the 70s. Some of you may have noticed that most of these songs that I choose to sing are from back in the 70s, 60s and 70s. That probably shows something about my age. I think it's rather interesting that a passage from the Bible would become a popular song. Perhaps not surprising that Pete Seeger would be the one to write the song. And it was seen at the time as an anti-war song, given his turn of phrase at the end. For the writer of Ecclesiastes, it was more of a commentary on life. And it could be taken as a kind of a fatalistic view. And some have taken it that way. I mean, I've heard people who say, well, it just must have been their time, even when it seemed like it was rather untimely. When we come to the end of the year, the beginning of a new one, it's always time to reflect on what the past year has held and perhaps think a bit about the year ahead. And when we reflect on the year that has just passed, we discover that most of the things mentioned by the writer of Ecclesiastes have indeed been true. There have been births and there have been deaths. There have been times of joy and times of sorrow. There have been times and things that have built us up and other things that have torn away at us. There has been love and there has, yes, been hate. It's the universal condition of humanity. Now, it's very easy, I think, sometimes to get caught looking only at one side of this equation. We tend to see each one of those pairs, one side as a positive and the other as a negative. But I had to ponder, what would life be like if only one side of those pairs were the case? Would we really be happy if things were always upbeat? And what would happen if we only experienced the negative side of life? Now, I've known people who always seem to be upbeat and always cheerful. You kind of people that I sometimes wonder if you'd, you know, tell them that, you know, your mother died, they'd say, oh, isn't that great? Or, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way they seem. But I've also seen those people crash and burn when they are suddenly faced with tragedy of their own mortality. As Matthew Henry said in his commentary on this passage, to expect unchanging happiness in a changing world must end in disappointment. Now, I've also known people who seem to only experience the downside of life and who often end up in despair and, yes, even suicide because they have come to believe that life would be better off without them. One of the classes that I took a long time ago in CPE talked about emotions and said that if you take opposite emotions and put them on a continuum, you will only be able to experience one side of the scale to the extent that you experience the other side of the scale. That is, you need to experience mourning if you want to experience dancing, to use one of the pairs in our passage. I mean, that's the whole point behind the seasons of Advent and particularly Lent, recognizing that to experience the full joy of Christmas and Easter, you have to experience a time of not rejoicing beforehand, a time of penance. It's why we preachers do these strange things like suggest that we not sing Christmas carols until Christmas or not sing any alleluias during Lent. Some people think that's strange, but it's one of those little quirks of preachers, I guess. Now, it would be rather easy to become fatalistic if we just read this passage and decided, well, that's the way it has always been and always will be. Life happens. But life doesn't just happen to us. We also play a role in what happens in our lives and in our outlook on life. We believe that life is not cyclical. It doesn't just repeat itself over and over, although certainly many things happen over and over. Our faith is a historical one that recognizes there was a beginning, that throughout history there have been unique moments, such as the one that we celebrated last Sunday, and that history is moving toward a conclusion in the future, spoken of in the passage that we read from the book of Revelation. It's knowing that long history that keeps us from despair in the downtimes of our lives, because we know that there are also good things that happen. And it also tempers the highs, knowing that life is not all a bowl of cherries or whatever metaphor you want to use. For as the writer of Ecclesiastes notes, God is the one constant throughout all of life and history, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But that doesn't mean we can simply sit back and let life happen to us. We are called to be active participants, and what we do does make a difference in the world. While we may not be able to bring about world peace, we can make the neighborhood that we live in more peaceful. While we may not be able to comfort all the people caught in war around the world, we can comfort those who mourn around us, and we can bring hope and joy to refugees who escape, like Manal, Alice, Ahmed, and Ayem. I don't know what the new year has in store for us, as individuals, as a congregation, or as a country. We know that some things will change. There will be a new president in the U.S. with lots of unknowns about what that will mean. There will be proposals for new structures in Mennonite Church Canada with lots of unknowns about what that will mean. We will have a new area pastor in Mennonite Church Alberta. And I thought when I wrote this that I wouldn't be able to tell you who it was, but I think the announcement has now gone out. So Tim Weeb Neufeld will be our new area pastor. He's currently pastor of First Mennonite in Edmonton and will be assuming his new role on February the 1st. So we're glad for that in Mennonite Church Alberta. We can be fairly certain that there will be some among us who will not live to see the end of this year. But we don't know who that may be. At this point, I don't know if we will have any births among us. Perhaps some of you know, but that hasn't been announced yet either. There will be joys and sorrows, new experiences, and experiences that have become expected and routine. As one poster I saw said, whether we want them or not, the new year will bring new challenges. Whether we seize them or not, the new year will bring new opportunities. Today, we begin writing a new chapter in our lives and in the life of First Mennonite. While there is much to be written, we know, as did the writer of Ecclesiastes, that whatever God does endures forever, and that whatever happens, God will be there among us and with us. Because of that, we can approach the new year without fear and with assurance of the road of faith that lies ahead of us. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the year just passed and for your presence with us in the year ahead. We don't know what it holds, but we know that you will walk with us through whatever comes our way. In Jesus' name, amen.